Well, Happy New Year. It is our hope and prayer that 2022 will be better than the last two. Good morning. Is it good to see everyone here this morning? I want to welcome those tuning in to our Facebook live stream. We're glad you've chosen to tune in this morning. This morning, I want to talk to you about the three T's of eternity. And it looks like a lot of text, but we're just going to be sticking mostly with these three. And with rare occasion, at each point, we'll read an extra passage. But Colossians 1:13, Romans 12:2, and Luke 16:22 to 23. So I'm going to invite you to open your Bibles with me to Colossians 1 and verse 13, as we'll be getting started there very soon. As you all know, December was a rough month for my family and many other families here. And we ended the year all recovered from COVID and a lingering effect. And I'm not sure if it's from that or the allergies, but my asthma has flared up this past week. And I'm still struggling with that. I'm on a 5-day treatment plan that ends tomorrow, so hopefully I'll be better. So this is day 4 of that. But I ask you to bear with me. I still have a little bit of a cough. It's not a COVID cough, it's an asthma cough, and I've got some water under the podium here that might help me if I start losing my voice. So I ask you, bear with me. But it can be said that our deeds will echo into eternity. There's a quote from a movie I know I've quoted to you before, and I love it. This general's rallying his troops before a big fight, and he's part of the thing that he does to give them morale and to encourage them is he says, what they do now will echo in eternity. Our deeds will echo in eternity. The scriptures bear that out as well, that what we do will echo in eternity. Romans 14:11 through 12 says we're going to give an account. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10 says we're all going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. So the things that we have done, both good and bad, will be rewarded or recompensed, because sometimes it's not reward, it's judgment. But we will all give an account of our actions. The paths we take in life determine our eternal destination. In the last couple months, we spent 2 Sundays talking about the decisions that we make and what I refer to as the eternal brochure. Do we take the road to hell or do we take the road to heaven? Those are the only two choices before us. All the other choices we make in life put us on either one of those two roads. We're going to look at the three T's of eternity. And the first one is found in Colossians 1 and verse 13. That we are transferred into the kingdom of Christ. Colossians 1:13 says, for he rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. Transformed. Romans 12:2. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. And the third one is transported. In Luke 16:22, it says, now the poor man died and was carried away by the angels to Abraham's bosom, and the rich man also died and was buried. The beggar died and was carried, or we could say transported by angels, into the place of paradise, the bosom of Abraham. What I want us to note as we go through this lesson is two of these T's are optional. We choose whether to be transferred from the domain of darkness into the kingdom of Christ. We choose to transform our lives to no longer be conformed to the world or transform into the image of the Son. We choose to do those things. But there is one T on this list that is not optional. It will happen to all of us. We will be transported. We will die one day. The beggar died and was transported by angels. The rich man also died, and we're not told he was transported. We're told he was buried. The next passage says he opened his eyes in torment, leading us to believe, it sounds like, he died and then awoke in a place of agony. While the poor man, Lazarus, was transported away by the angels. Two of these are optional in our lives, but the third will affect everyone. So it's important that we take the right paths to eternal life. So let's talk about transfer. Colossians 1:13. For he rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. The sinner is delivered from the power of Satan, called through obedience, and transferred into God's kingdom. The Apostle Paul was informing the Colossians that after becoming obedient to the gospel, if you go back to Colossians 1 and verse 2, he says they were transferred from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's Son. In ancient times, when one kingdom conquered another, it would often transfer the conquered people from where they were to another area. I'm reminded of the kingdom of Assyria. They were infamously known for doing that. One of the reasons they would do that is to take away and change the identity of the people into something else. That's kind of the idea here. We are removed from the domain of darkness, transferred into the kingdom of the beloved Son, into Christ, and we're given a new identity. We're not who we once were. We become something new. They would carry their captives away, transferring them into their kingdom. Assyria did it to Israel. Babylon did it to Judah. The sinner is delivered from the power of Satan, called out through obedience, and transferred into God's kingdom. And something new and wonderful and beautiful is created from that soul that allows themselves to be transferred. Because we know there's spiritual warfare. There is a spiritual war being waged between Satan's arsenal of lusts and pride and the allurements of the world versus the gospel of God, which is grace and love. In 2 Corinthians 4:3 through 4 and 2 Corinthians 10:3 through 5, both of these places, Paul talks about this spiritual warfare that wages a war for our souls. Our souls are on the line as the battle prize of this war. But I want you to turn over to Romans 1 and verse 16. Romans 1 and verse 16. And one of those rare examples I said would turn away from these three texts this morning. Romans 1, 16. We find that the gospel is the power of salvation, that Christ died for our sins, and so that we are never to be ashamed of that. That in that we are to boast. It says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, 'But the righteous man shall live by faith.'" The gospel is the power of salvation. Christ died for our sins. So when one obeys the gospel, their allegiance changes. I want you to think about that. When you are transferred from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, your allegiance changes. Your priorities, your thoughts, your desires all change from darkness to light. Luke 8:15, 1 Peter 1:22 tells us we must choose to obey from our heart. Ephesians 2:19, all the way through to Ephesians 3 and verse 6, the thought there is that our citizenship changes. When we go from the domain of darkness into the kingdom of light, our citizenship changes. No longer citizens of the dark, but citizens of the kingdom of light. We are subtracted from the lost and added to the saved. Acts 2:38 and verse 47. So the question before us this morning is, have you been transferred into his kingdom? Or are you still following the course of eternal misery? Because this one is optional. You choose whether you will be transferred or not. The next one is transformed. Romans 12:2. "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect." Turn over with me to the book of Ephesians. This is one of those rare moments where we turn away. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 22. And see what is said here to the saints at Ephesus. In Ephesians 4, starting verse 22, he says that in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lusts of deceit, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and put on the new self, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. Paul told both the churches at Rome and at Ephesus that after becoming transferred into his kingdom, there is a transformation that must occur. We can't just be transferred and then live our life the way we always did. There is a transformation that is required. It is not optional. It is a must. But at what speed that happens, everyone's different. But a transformation must happen. We can't just continue on as we always did. He says, in fact, as we read the Ephesians 4 passage to tell us how that transformation takes place, he says, you lay aside the old self. Don't keep doing the things that you did before that were sinful, that brought you into that condemnation by God. Now that you've been transferred, lay aside the old self. He says, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. That sounds very familiar to Romans 12 and verse 2. And he tells us how to do that. Put on the new self, which in the likeness of God is created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. When one is transferred from darkness to light, there should be a transformation of character and conduct. Others around us ought to tell the difference. See someone who once was in darkness, now is in light, and be able to tell. Paul's friends were able to tell, weren't they? He says he was a Hebrew of Hebrews, a Pharisee of Pharisees, and yet they all saw this transformation that took place. Almost immediately he began reasoning with them from the Scripture, showing them that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, is the suffering servant, is the promised one. There is no other coming. And it is said, if you look in Galatians chapter 1, he even references that the saints at Judea said, whoa, who is this guy? He who once persecuted the church is now teaching the truth? Yeah, everyone recognized the difference in Paul. He went from darkness to light and then went at about 180 miles per hour. People ought to see that transformation in our lives. Luke 8:13-14 and 1 Corinthians 3:1-3. Some are transferred, but are not ever truly transformed. Unfortunately, as we read Luke 8:13-14, this is Jesus describing the parable of the sower. And he describes two of the soils, the rocky soil and the thorny soil. And he talks about the rocky soil, how this is the rocky soil saint, this is the Christian that rejoiced at being transferred, but they had no firm root. And so when persecution arose, they immediately fell away. The thorny soil Christian isn't so immediate. This is the Christian that allows the allurements of the world to start bogging them down, taking their attention away. The cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, the pleasures of this life, all these ways are called there in Luke 8:13-14 and also the Matthew 13 and the Mark 4 account. And it says of that thorny soil Christian, as they allow the world to choke out the word, they become unfruitful. Some people allow themselves to be transferred, but don't fully ever transform. And there's a danger there, because the cares of this world overcome individuals such as that. Fighting and quarreling with each other overcome others. The backbiting, the gossiping, the slander. I want you to look with me over in Romans chapter 8, 29 through 30. Romans chapter 8, 29 to 30. And notice how great this transformation in our lives ought to be. In Romans 8, starting in verse 29. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his Son, so that he would be the firstborn among many brethren. And these whom he predestined, he also called. And these whom he called, he also justified. And these whom he justified, he also glorified. In a couple weeks, I plan to spend extra time on those two passages and talk about what that means to be conformed. People get bogged down with the word predestination or predetermined there. And what he's talking about is a mold. And we're going to be talking about that in a couple weeks, about what that mold is. The mold is the image of his Son. We are to be poured into that mold to conform to that image. That's how we transform our lives. That is how deep this transformation goes, is we are to be transformed or conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. This is a daily struggle. This is not a one and done. This is something that we constantly strive to do. Some days it's hard. Some days are easier than others. Some days are harder than others. But there are certain moments in life that we're confronted and faced with temptations. We're confronted with situations that might turn unpleasant. And we have to remember who we are and make sure that we fit that mold that we have conformed or transformed our lives to look like Jesus. It's not always easy. I'll admit it can be frustrating. But as we read through the Scriptures, we find the rewards are worth it. In a sense, being transferred is the easy part. That's where we say, I give my life to Jesus, we're baptized, we become members of the church. Being transformed is the hard part. Those are the growth pains. Just as a child coming into the world has... For the child, that's the easy part. Growing is the hard part. Taking those first steps, getting their courage on to do things that they might not want to do. As Christians, being transformed requires us to change our lives completely. How we think, how we prioritize, the judgments that we make, the cares that we carry out, the desires that we give into. All of that is part of being transformed. Being born is easier than properly developing and growing. And the same is for the Christian. It's easy for someone to just stay in the milk, but we're told to get beyond the milk. Hebrews 5 and all the way through chapter 6 tells us we need to get into the meat of the Word of God. And apart from transformation, though, also referred to as sanctification in Hebrews 12:14, there can be no salvation. If we are transferred only, but we don't transform, we become that Christian that immediately falls away with persecution. We become that Christian that the word is choked out and we become unfruitful. Only when we transform can there be salvation. We sometimes, and I would say rightly so, stress the need in people's lives for the transferring because we need them to be baptized, to have their sins washed away, to come into the kingdom of God. But often, we either lightly touch on or fail to talk about their need to transform. And we cannot leave that out. It is an important part of that eternal brochure. As a newborn baby dies if it does not grow and develop, so the babe in Christ will die if he does not transform his life. And again, Luke 8:13-14, Jesus bears that out in the parable of the sower perfectly. The mature who do not daily grow will become unfruitful and ineffective. The Hebrew writer says in Hebrews 5:12-14, he said that some in his audience, they should have known better, they should have been mature, they should have been teachers. But he said instead they needed someone to come and teach them the basics, the elementary principles. And he says, for the mature, it is through practice that one becomes able to discern good from evil, right from wrong. Through practice, that's the hard part, because that's the daily struggle. But if you are transferred, you must transform your life and your conduct into the image of the Son. And the third T of eternity that we had on our board this morning is transported. Luke 16:22-23. In Luke 16:22-23, I have 22 on the board, but ask you to read with me through verse 23. Luke 16, starting in verse 22, says, Now the poor man died and was carried away by the angels to Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died and was buried. In Hades he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and saw Abraham far away and Lazarus in his bosom. Jesus tells a story, and it's nowhere called a parable here. Jesus does something different than most parables. Well, a parable, he'll talk about some rich man or master or servant somewhere. Here he gives a name, and he gives us the name of the poor man. And the poor man is the beggar. When the beggar died, it is described as being carried away by the angels, transported by the angels. His soul was transported from physical life into the eternal life. The rich man is described as having died, was buried, and his soul was also transported, but to a place of torment, not to a place he wanted to be. In Matthew 13:41-42, there is a difference in the transportation used, but the common factor is, wicked or righteous, we will all be transported. Look with me over in Matthew 13. This is one of those rare moments we turn away from our three texts. I want to read with you Matthew 13, starting in verse 41. He says, The Son of Man will send forth His angels, and they will gather out of His kingdom all stumbling blocks and those who commit lawlessness, and will throw them into the furnace of fire. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears, let him hear. If you jump down to verse 47. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a dragnet cast into the sea, and gathering fish of every kind. And when it was filled, they drew it up on the beach, and they sat down and gathered the good fish in the containers, but the bad they threw away. So it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come forth and take out the wicked from among the righteous, and will throw them into the furnace of fire. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Have you understood these things? They said to him, yes. There's a difference in the transportation used, but the destinations are sure. One is a place of torment, the other the place of bliss. Some may not even be ever transferred into the kingdom or transform their lives, but when we die, we'll all be transported. 1 Thessalonians 4:16 says, all that are in the graves will hear the voice of Christ, and those who've been faithful will rise to meet him in the air. 2 Thessalonians 1:7-9 says, those who turn a deaf ear to the gospel of Christ and do not obey it, he says, those who reject that transformation, they too will suffer an eternal destruction. They also will be given eternal transportation, but to them, an eternal destruction away from the presence of Christ. So, as we read these passages and put them all together, we find we'll be transported to meet him in the clouds or cast away from his presence forever. This is the one that is not optional. The transportation will happen one way or another. It is the finality and the ultimate end of our eternal transportation that makes those first two T's so vitally important. We need to be transferred. We need to be transformed in order to be transported away by the angels. Imagine being carried away by the angels to meet the Lord in the clouds and ever be with him in comfort. Philippians 3, 20 through 21 tells us we're transformed into his glory. In fact, 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 18 says the very idea of that, of rising to meet him in the clouds and then be carried away to the home that he has prepared, going back to John 14. Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 4:18, comfort one another with those words. Comfort one another. There is comfort in being transported by the angels to ever be with the Lord. But now imagine being cast away in wrath and indignation to an eternity of misery and torment. As Jesus described there, the angels would gather the wicked and not transport them to a place of bliss, but cast them into a fiery furnace to be burned forever. Hebrews 10:31 says, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. It was fearful then, it is fearful now, and it will be fearful then in the future. Jeremiah 8:20 says, harvest is past, summer is ended, and we are not saved. What a gloomy report by the prophet. Harvest is past, summer is ended, and we are not saved. That would be the fate of those whose lives meet that fiery judgment of the Lord. The how and where of our transportation is dependent on our being transferred and transformed in this life. So this morning, have you been transferred from the power of Satan into the power and kingdom of God? Romans 1:16, as we read earlier, the gospel has the power to save. You can obey it. You can be transferred from darkness into light today, this very hour. And if transferred, or if you are planning to be transferred, once you are transferred, you need to be transformed in the image of his Son. So have you been transformed? Or are you still looking back at your former life of slavery and bondage? The Israelites did that constantly. They constantly looked back to Egypt and all that misery and all that despair. Exodus 3, God tells Moses, speaking to him from the burning bush, that their tears and their cries have reached him in heaven, and that now is the day of salvation. Now was the day to act. And yet, they forgot all about that. And for some reason, Egypt became their glory days of how good and wonderful they had it. And they forgot how they cried out to God, especially in the last days in Egypt, when Pharaoh did not remove their quota, but told them they had to not only cook the bricks, they had to gather the hay. But yet, they look back to Egypt so longingly, so many times. Oh, if only we were back in Egypt, we had it so good. No, they didn't. Exodus 3, God says their distress, their cries have reached His ears, and enough was enough. The time was now. Brethren, we have been delivered from darkness and slavery for those who have been transferred and transformed. But how easy it is to look back to those former days. And if we keep looking back, we'll find opportunity to return. Hebrews 11:15 says, you look back long enough, you will find opportunity to return. And Jesus makes it very sure what happens in Luke 8:14-15. You will fall away, or you will become unfruitful. Let us not look back, but remember what Paul said in Philippians 3. I don't look back, I look forward. I press on. So regardless of your choice to be transferred or transformed, you will be transported. Matthew 25:31-34 and verse 41 and 46, as Jesus outlines and details what this eternal brochure looks like, He says in verse 46, talking about the wicked, these go away into eternal punishment. But the righteous, the ones He had earlier talked about in verses 31 to 34 on His right, the righteous go away into eternal life. So the question before us this morning is, where will you spend eternity? You could start the year off in the right relationship with God. No better choice could you make for 2022 than to decide to be transferred. And if you have been transferred but not completely transformed, no better choice could you make for 2022 than to completely transform your life and conform your conduct and your image in the image of the Son. So make the right choice today. Be transferred into His kingdom and transform your life. Look like Jesus. This morning, if you're not a Christian, you need to be. To repent and be baptized into His name. For there's no other name that can save. That's what Acts 4 and verse 12 says. If you are this morning a Christian, not living the way that you should, now is the time to make those corrections. Now is the time to remember, just as God said of Israel and Egypt, now is the day of salvation. Now is the day to either be transferred, or now is the day to completely transform your lives. So that one day when that transportation happens, we might be borne away on the wings of angels to meet the Lord in the air and ever be with Him. Whatever your request might be this morning, let them be known now, while together we stand and while we sing.